Amen. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Stephen, for your song leading. I can't sing it no matter where you start it. I just sing, which is what we're kind of supposed to do. Singing is that perfect example of many talents, many personalities uniting together for one thing. It's that perfect mix of those of you who have beautiful voices and those of us who sound like frogs when we sing. But I'm not supposed to be silent in that, because it's my heart that's expressing my words to the Lord, not my mouth. And so we sing. And the songs today have been in praise to God, powerfully in praise to God. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that. A couple of weeks ago, a month ago, we took a photograph. You remember that? We took a group picture right here. I held up my camera. It was in response to Ethan and Whitney and the entire family. Tony and Inez brought the whole family down, or went with their whole family to South America, to Ecuador. And in that process, Ethan and Whitney were going around, and they were with cousins of theirs who invited them to their church and said, well, we were actually looking, but okay, we'll go. And it turns out they are members of the Iglesia de Cristo, the Church of Christ. And they were thrilled and excited and were uniting with brothers and sisters. They had no idea that parts of their family down there were members of the Lord's church. And so they said, can you send a picture? They want to be in connection with their brothers and sisters in Alaska. So I took that panorama picture. Well, this is their picture. This is their picture from Ecuador in greeting to you. In Puerto Viejo, Ecuador, these are your brothers and sisters. So we look forward to, we have a Facebook page of theirs and email addresses for them. So we look forward to having a relationship with them. They are practically seated on the equator in Ecuador, so their days are a little different than ours. Their weather is a little different than ours. I did think I recognized one set of faces back here. Is that somebody I know? Is that you guys? There's Ethan and Whitney in the picture. But what a joy to see the loving greeting of our brothers and sisters from South America. So we have their greetings, they have our greetings, and that's just the beginning. So Lord willing, we will keep in touch with this dear church family. Thank you for making that connection for us. That's a real blessing. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Holy Lord, dear God, what a joy. What a joy. You powerfully guide our lives. And yet your touch can be so gentle. Your voice at times soft as a whisper. There are times that you shake the ground we stand on. There are times you flatten our lives and knock us down. There are times you have to do that to get our attention. But God, whether you whisper or you shout, whether you're gentle on us or powerful on us, you are a great and glorious God. We do not understand. We do not know. We do not realize the beauty and the scope and the power of the great God that you are. We do not understand, we do not realize the beauty and scope and power of your word that you have put into our hands. Help us to be a people who obey your word and who get to know you as God and Father, that we can listen to you, obey you, follow you, glorify you, and tell others about you. Help us in this half hour to go into your word and to learn of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be still, says God in verse 10. So, if you don't mind, be still. Put down your cell phones. Stop your texting. You may be doing a great word search right now in some Hebrew phrase or Greek word, or you may be doing a crossword puzzle, but whatever it is, stop. God says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I've been thinking about this verse for a long time, about a lesson on this verse, and this lesson won't do it justice. Only the Lord and His Word can do it justice, but I'll give it a shot. And in the middle of my preparation of this lesson, our dear sister, I won't mention her name, but I'll just give you a hint. She's the woman in the mission group. But our sister, Lizzie, gave our family this gift over the holidays. She painted that. I got her permission to say that. I wouldn't have done that without her permission. I told her I was wondering why she took an axe to the tree in the backyard. That's painted on a piece of wood, natural wood. But what a beautiful painting, and what a beautiful scriptural concept. Be still. It is a great call to peace. It is the call of the 23rd Psalm, I can say it, 23rd Psalm, in which the sheep are brought to lie down in a pasture, and a sheep doesn't lie down unless they're safe. They will not lay down if they don't feel safe. And so we are given that sense of peace and safety that we don't have to protect. The shepherd has that. But this is more than that, because Psalm 46 is very deliberately written in the midst of trouble. Even if the earth should shake and the mountains tremble, even if the earth should shake and the mountains tremble, even if the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea, and we haven't seen that part happen around here yet, even if you all might have thought it was happening on the 30th of November. It looked like it, sounded like it, and you all tell me it felt like it. Even though the nations rage, verse 6, and kingdoms totter or fall, God says, be still. Stop. Sit up, your teacher might have told you when you were in grade school. Your parents might have corrected you when you were at the table and you weren't listening to them. You slouched over feeling sorry for yourself. Sit up, look at me. It's got that kind of attention-getting perspective to it. It is a call of peace, but in this context, it's a call of awareness. It's a call of awareness of who our God is. The songs we just sang, one song after another song in praise to a great and a glorious God. I didn't make the connection. I don't always read through the scripture reading before, but our scripture reading today included the verse, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? In Joel chapter 2, we read today. Rabbi Zacharias tells a story of after the fall of the Soviet Union, he was invited into Russia and was asked to speak at different groups. And one of the groups he spoke to about Christianity, about the evidences for Christian faith and the reasonableness of following Christ and believing in God. One group he spoke to was one of the Russian military academies. And he said, he stands up and he says, it's always a little awkward and difficult to a people who have been isolated from faith in God for a long time. And so he's speaking to this group and he said, one of the students, one of the cadets was glaring at him. And every time he looked over at him, the guy was doing this, giving him the choke sign. Now, you all give me a ton of encouragement when I'm up here speaking and I look out at your faces and I get all sorts of connections. I don't know what it would be like if one of you started giving me, you know, okay, we need to talk, I guess. So he went on with his presentation, and at the end, it's always a question and answer period. The very first question, this young man stood up and said, God, you've been speaking for 45 minutes about something called God. What do you mean when you use the word God? Rabbi explains, he said, I always try to ask a question with a question. When you ask a question to the questioner, you force them to put their question into a framework. It tells you something more about them, but it forces them to think about themselves. So he says, may I ask you a question before I answer your question? Are you an atheist? And the man said, yes. Are you an atheist? And the man says, yes. Well, what is it that you are opposed to? The word atheist means that you are against theism. You are opposed to theism. It is a choice you're making. So what is it that you're opposed to? He said the young man looked like somebody punched him in the chest, kind of reeled back. And then Ravi went on and answered the question. The point is that the existence of God is an obvious, reasonable stand to take. And even the atheist has to take a stand, an acknowledgement to the faith and the belief and the idea that so many millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of people take that God is. See, even without the Word of God, and this is a brief list, but even without Scripture defining God and explaining God and giving so much information about His character, just by looking at the creation, you can know that God is self-existent. There has to be a power beyond this creation. Everything else exists because of something else, including you and me. Everything else exists because of something else. Only God is self-existent. Only God is independent. We are all dependent on something else. Everything in the universe is dependent on something else. God stands independent, and that's known about Him. He is purposed to have created a universe like this. He is highly intelligent, extremely wise to have created a universe like this. Obviously powerful to what we would consider an infinite amount, truly an infinite amount. Creative. He is good, for the sense of good and the purpose of good and the power of good is obvious in this earth and on our lives. And He is loving. So the fact that God is a powerful absolute, even if you don't know the Word of God, even if you've never opened up Scripture. So God says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. This is a statement of awe. This is a statement that causes us to pause, which is why I was so deliberate about having you put things down. There's a story behind this psalm. I'm going to say that, and then my next sentence is, but we're not going to talk about it today. The story behind this psalm, Psalm 46, is the story of the attack of the Assyrians, specifically Sennacherib, King Sennacherib of the Assyrians, attacking when Jehoshaphat was king. When Hezekiah was king. We're going to talk today about a parallel time, a very similar time, when Jehoshaphat was king. For this statement is a statement in which God is telling his people, I've got this. You be still. I've got this. The story about Sennacherib attacking is fascinating, and I really want to do it justice, and I couldn't go through the psalm and go through the story both in one lesson, because there's so much archaeology and there's so much history outside of Scripture about what Sennacherib did, who he was, when he lived, and how Israel, Jerusalem, was the only city that could stand against him. And I want to give that story justice. That's a fascinating story. But today we're going to talk about Jehoshaphat in a very parallel time. This statement has been abused, misused, even to blasphemy. I'm reminded Ephelgard Smith was speaking more than a decade ago in Anchorage with the Anchorage congregation. And he talked about this then, and then he wrote an entire book about this. But Shirley MacLaine, does that name do anything to you, an actress from the last generation of actors and actresses? Shirley MacLaine wrote a book, Out on a Limb. And Ephelgard Smith wrote a companion book to it called Out on a Broken Limb. Because she is a spiritualist. She claims that she has awareness of spiritual things, and she made all sorts of ridiculous and audacious claims about death and life and spiritual matters that she doesn't understand. But one of the things she did is she took this verse and said it about herself and told her followers to say it about themselves. For any human to be audacious enough to say, be still and know that I am God. I was trying to find the details, but I think I remember Lagarde Smith saying that he heard her in a speaking engagement say those words and was so stunned. He spoke to her afterwards, if I remember his story, and then wrote his book. On a lot of aspects of what she taught. This is a statement of awe. This is a statement of power. This is a statement to comfort us. And so if you'll join me in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it applies completely, perfectly, and identically to what happens to Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. Second Chronicles chapter 20, Judah is invaded. Verse 1, now it came about that after this, the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Some came and reported Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram, and behold, they are in Hazanah-Tamar, that is, En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid. and turned his attention to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat was one of those kings who got a lot of things right. He really corrected some of the errors of his father and of the generations before him. But unfortunately, near the end of his life, after this period, he slipped back into some of those ungodly and anti-godly actions that the kings were like to do. So his fear is unfounded. Excuse me. His fear is unfounded, but at least his direction is right. He's afraid of the oncoming armies. He's about to be overtaken by a mass of unified armies coming against Judah. And he doesn't have the forces or the ability to defend the country. Jehoshaphat was afraid, verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, if you haven't gotten there, and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord, and they even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah, and this is the next perfect, correct, absolutely right thing that he did. In the house of the Lord, before the new court, he said... So Jehoshaphat gathers the nation together, and in the courts of the Lord, he prays to God. O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God of the heavens, and are you not ruler over the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, our God, drive out all the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary here for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before the house and before you. For your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and deliver us. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, they turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are with you. You want to follow a man like that? I don't know what to do, Lord, but you do. And in this prayer, he mixes faith, confidence, and history. God gives us this scripture, these scriptures, in order for us to know what he did, to know who he is, and therefore to know what his promises are, therefore what he will do. And Jehoshaphat says, are you not God of the heavens, ruler over all the kingdoms? He knows God. Did you not bring us here, driving out those in front of us, rescuing us from evil? You're the God who did these things. And therefore, will you not be with us at this time also? Are you not? Did you not? Will you not? That's a prayer with depth and focus and faith and breadth. Verse 13, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants. Where are the infants? There they are. We have awesome babies in our congregation here. With their infants and their wives and their children. So I'm reading through this, and then in the midst of the assembly, as I'm preparing this lesson, I'm reading through this, and in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel. And I'm thinking, as I read this last week, Jahaziel? Do I know Jahaziel? Jahaziel. I don't think I know Jahaziel. The son of Zechariah, well, that doesn't help me much. The son of Benaniah, that doesn't help me much. The son of Jael, that doesn't help me. The son of Matthani, that doesn't help me. The Levite of the sons of Asaph. And I went, Asaph, I know Asaph. I know Asaph. Asaph was the Levite who was in charge of the singers. That's who Asaph was. And I went and checked it back out. Yeah. This guy was a singer. He's one of the singing priests. He's a Levite in charge of singing. And he said, so the song leader, Stephen, gets the word of the Lord, okay? Listen, all Judea. So it's like Stephen standing up and saying, Robert, I got this. And you sit down and he does the rest of the lesson. Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up from Ascent to Ziz, and you will find them. That's a great place. You got to live in Ziz, go visit Ziz sometime. And you will find them at the end of the valley, in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites, the sons of the Kohathites, and the sons of and of the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise God of Israel with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire, and they went out before the army. So they marched. The people marched and went down. You're not going to fight in this battle, God says. It's my battle, not yours. And Jehoshaphat said, we're going to be led into this battle by our singers. We're going to be singing our way to this battle. And they began singing and praising, verse 22. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes. Let me back up because I didn't finish verse 21. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Does that sound like a psalm to you? Yeah, it is a psalm. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were routed, for the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. And when Judah came to look out into the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses covering the ground. No one had escaped. In their fear, in their terror, having seen nothing except the reports and the oncoming army, led by their singers, the first thing they were told to do, besides the organization of lining up, was to give thanks to God. Thank you, Father. For what? for this battle, for attacking armies, for being outnumbered, for fear. Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Jehoshaphat had set the tone, had set the perspective. Are you not? Did you not? Will you not? And they led themselves into battle with songs of praise and thanks. The first thing out of their mouth, thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you in the face of death and destruction. Thank you in the face of three armies combining together to wipe us out. Thank you, Father. They had seen no victory. They had realized no loss of enemy. All the enemies still standing out there in front of them, probably coming toward them, because an ambush had been set, and the ambush had to mean that they were moving in the next verses. When they began singing and praising, then God began to destroy the enemy. So, I told you, I didn't know our hero here, Jahaziel. Anytime you see the two-letter El, it means God in Hebrew. So anybody's name with an El in it is some reference to God. Guess what Jahaziel means? It doesn't mean I sing for God. It means God sees. God sees. In our vernacular, God knows. God knows that foreign army better than you know it. He knows exactly who's in it. He knows exactly how strong they think they are. He knows exactly where they are, when they're coming, and what their capabilities are. He knows exactly your faith or your lack of faith, and he knows your fear, and he knows your weakness, and he knows your strength. The Lord sees. This is not your battle, God says. This is my battle. I'm seeing it. I know. I'm here. In other words, be still. Be still and know that I am God. This type of stand is the call of every one of us at some point in our lives. The trick is, the perspective is, it needs to be our call every day. God sees. There is nothing to be afraid of. Whatever difficulty, whatever shaking, whatever tragedy, whatever struggle, whatever pain, give thanks to the Lord for it. And move forward in song and praise. Your song is powerful. Your praise is powerful. Look at Psalm 7. Verse 17. Verse 17 reads, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, or according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. But all through the psalm, O my God, in you I have taken refuge, verse 1. Save me from all those who pursue me and deliver me, or he will tear my soul like a lion dragging me away while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is injustice in my hands, if I have rewarded evil to my friend or have plundered him who without cause was my adversary, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it. Let him trample my life down to the ground and lay my glory in the dust. This is a song of anguish. This is a song of agony. This is a psalm of fear. And it ends in the anguish, in the fear, in the danger. It ends giving thanks to God. Not because I've already realized a victory, but because we give thanks to God in all things. Israel was told to lead with their singers and give thanks to the Lord first. Jesus examples this all the time, and we don't have time to get into it right now. You give thanks to the Lord before you have a result. He thanked God before Lazarus came out of the tomb, in one example. I give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness, not because He's done things the way I want Him to do things. I give thanks to the Lord just because of who He is. So when God says, be still, we say, yes, sir. Thank you, God, for the God you are. Thank you, God, for my pain and my danger and my difficulty. Thank you, God, for my struggle. Thank you, God, for tumult and danger. Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in one body. Let the word of Christ richly dwell with, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him, God the Father. Be thankful with thankfulness in your hearts, giving thanks through the Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you through the whole thing. The power of our singing, the power of our thankfulness, the power of our praise. It's our basic relationship with God because of who He is. Not because He agrees with us and happens to rescue us when we think we need rescued. Sometimes He does and sometimes He doesn't. We give thanks to Him in all things. Somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you. Ephesians 5:20 is our favorite verse in this area. Giving thanks always and for everything. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be still and know that I am God. If anyone here today is ready to be baptized into Christ, we're ready to help you with that. If anyone here is ready or needs to make something known to the congregation, whether for prayer or for help or for strength or for encouragement, you can come forward and we can do that. Whatever your need be, come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.